Good evening. Thank you for coming to the meeting tonight. We're going to start off with a roll call vote, please, for attendance.
Mr. Blair.
Here.
Mr. Simon.
Here.
Mr. Mendoza.
Here.
Mrs. Spearman.
Here.
Here. Everyone is in attendance. First order on the agenda tonight is the approval of minutes from our June 7th meeting. Cheryl, entertain a motion that we approve the minutes from June 7th meeting.
I so move.
Motion by Director Simon. Do I hear a second? And a second by Director Blair. All directors in favor of approving the minutes, say aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion passed unanimously. Item number two is the public comments period. If there's anyone in the audience that would like to speak to an item that is not on the agenda tonight, we ask only that you limit your presentation to 3 minutes if possible. If you're here to speak to an item that's already on the agenda, you'll have plenty of time when it comes up. But is there anything out there? Any comments or questions from the board? Okay, so public comments period is closed. We'll go on to item number three under board administration. This is regarding the Montecito Verde 1 subdivision sewer fees and the public hearing. Mr. Jones?
Yeah, Mr. President, at the board meeting on May 17th, the board directed staff to come up with a means of collecting the sewer fees and the cost of connecting the sewer system at Montecito Verde 1 subdivision. Montecito Verde 1 was a community septic tank system where you had a collector system going to a on-site disposal system, which failed in January 90.91, where it was connected to the district system on an emergency basis because they had raw sewage servicing on the ground. At that time, a letter was sent out from the district to each of the members saying that they would be obligated to pay the district sewer system fee of $3,500 and their corporate cost of connecting the sewer system to the district sewer system, which was about $72.80 per parcel, making a total obligation of $3,572.80. And basically, staff is recommending a number of ways these fees can be paid. One would be a one-time cash payment to the district for these fees, putting the fees on a tax roll, which would be included in the property tax bill the following year, all due and payable at one time, or establishing a volunteer, what is called a zone of benefit, which allows each property owner to join this zone and pay their fees over a period of time, we suggest 10 years, at a rate of 6% interest, making an annual payment of $485.43, which would be collected on the tax bill twice a year. All this information went out to each of the property owners with the fees, costs, the zone of benefit agreement, and a copy of the map showing all the parcels in the Montecito Verde 2 subdivision. And they all were notified of a public hearing at this evening's meeting to ask any questions or review any of the comments that they have received. And now would be the time to have that public hearing unless the board has questions on it.
Okay. Really, two of the three methods involve tax rolls, and one is spread on 10 years with the interest that you mentioned, and one is lump sum. But in both cases, the county would be doing the collection and then the added administration fee sometimes and give us the money after that. Are there any questions of Mr. Jones before we open it up to a public hearing by any of the board members?
You're saying that both number two and number three goes on the tax roll?
Yes. And like for the small mission, one is spread over a 10-year period, and the other is a 1-year period.
Yeah, just so we don't get confused when we open this up, the items two and three in your summary to the board are actually switched from the sequence of two and three in a letter to the residents. So I just wanted to. Maybe if we can reference them by subject instead of by numbers, then that will all be less confused. Okay, so we'll consider the public hearing now open. And anyone out there that has questions or comments regarding any of these payment plans, feel free to stand up and address the board. If you could come to the podium, we'd appreciate that, just only because the mic picks it up better. Okay. Yes. Hey, if you'd state your name and your address, please, when you speak.
My name is Mark Mayer. I live in Montecito Verde at 581 Dollinger. After reviewing all your options and whatever, I think I would prefer option one. However, the time frame provided to make the payment is a little bit short, and I was wondering if it would be possible to get some kind of like a 3-month or 6-month payoff type of thing in lieu of the single lump sum.
To pay off in total over
over
90 to 180 days or something. Or something. Mr. Seitz?
I would just point out that the Zona Benefit Agreement has no prepayment penalty. So if you sign up for that and you come to a spot where you can just pay it off in a lump sum, then it would be, it would work the same way.
Yeah, but when I read the agreement, it at least to me, implies obligations that I'm not sure that I agree with.
There are obligations.
The obligations that I saw put forth within the agreement seem to me excessive for the scope of matter at hand. And therefore, like I said, I prefer the short payments, but 3 weeks is a little bit too short in my book.
I don't know when the... when do the property taxes show up on the... They'll show up in November, so you would have... And then they're due and payable by when?
December
10th, so you still have the same 3 months.
But in my case, I
have an escrow account
that I would have to take into... That complicates things.
Right.
In a way that I would prefer to avoid.
I know... The district has offered three options. As far as I know, those are the only three. All I point out to you is that the Zona Benefit comes closest to satisfying your position because it would not show up until a November tax bill, and if it was paid prior to December, you would have the exact same options.
That still doesn't address my concerns. All I'm requesting is that some consideration is given to extending the terms on the first option.
But you say that you're not in agreement with the terms
of
the agreement.
Well, the way I read it,
can you speak for a moment just to the particular items?
Let me
put you out so we can hear it and then...
Right.
Because others might have similar concerns.
Exactly.
Item 8 and item 10. Waiver of rights program, which I haven't really gone back and reflected about this, and I really object to waiving any rights to protest on something that I don't have all the details.
Let me just explain what that means. Is that typically when you do a zone of benefit district, it's like an assessment district where everybody can come up and protest. I mean, you can get a majority protest and the zone of benefit would fail. We're not offering this as a zone of benefit in the traditional sense of the word, of having everybody come in and get a chance to protest it. We're offering a zone of benefit as a way that individual property owners out there can finance this $3,000 obligation over a period of time. The district has a straightforward legal way of collecting it by putting it on the tax rolls directly. One lump sum payment on your tax rolls. This board was sensitive to the fact that a lot of people just can't afford the $575 thing, and so they directed staff to develop a mechanism where for those property owners that wanted to pay it over time and not just one lump sum payment, to come up with a way of doing it. This is that way. What this envisions is that each individual owner will be the zone of benefit. It's not going to be you as a group. It's going to be your particular parcel individually.
Because to pay the fee or not pay the fee is not the option. It's the method of payment
right.
that we're trying to...
Right.
I understand that the non-payment is not an option.
Right.
Okay, so. And I have no objection to paying the connection fee.
Right.
The whatever assessment we're trying to do.
Right, okay.
Okay, it's more of a principle thing. I read that and it says... But there can be a lot more to it than what I read.
See, if you take a look in there, it says the zone of benefit is your particular lot, and it's just confined to that. That way, those property owners that want to pay a lump sum payment can pay it and never join the zone and have no further obligation. Those property owners that want to pay over time can join an individual zone of benefit, which is their own little lot, and pay it over time. So it's not... We can't go through the typical zone of benefit analysis because it just doesn't apply.
The right to waive protest on this thing is just strictly for this one item. It has nothing to do with anything else coming down the line.
With this one item?
Paying over time.
Just paying it over time as
right.
far as not whether it was correctly assessed or not, having to come back a year from now
no.
and say it's not $72.
This is your time right now during this public hearing to protest the amount.
Yeah, the amount is fixed.
Okay, so that's...
It's fixed by ordinance.
I don't have to worry about that being changed. And
no. No.
Okay, then that also addresses my concerns
yeah.
about item 10.
Right.
Well, if you pay too much into your income account, like now between now and December 10th and you did pay it off, if you had a surplus in there, then the next 6 month period you wouldn't have to pay as much in.
That's correct, but I don't typically have $2,000.
No, I mean, but if you said, you know, if you said if you could pay it off over like a 4 month period from like now until when the taxes are due, that's about a 4 month, at least about a 4 month.
Oh, like I and you're recommending the one-time lump sum against the roll?
Well, if you did, if your escrow company or whoever has would take a little more money out of your escrow, you know, and then you paid it off a lump sum, you might not necessarily get that money back, but in the next 6 month period, you wouldn't have to put as much in.
Well, what would probably happen is they would just bill me this up front and say, hey, we got this bill and it's huge, and then I have to write them a single check in December. It's doable and probably based on the way this is going, the mechanism that I'll choose.
Okay, well, thank you for your concerns. As Mr. Seitz summarized, we've got the three options that we'd really like to try to stick to, and it's what we're prepared tonight to offer. Yeah, we're not through by any means. We'll all have time to speak. Yes, sir. Come on up.
And then it will affect you to my division. My question is, I've been paying $16 for the sewer for the next two years.
Right.
Do you want to be that one in the $3,000 and
That's a different fee, and you guys can jump in. But the $16 is the maintenance charge for each month, just for operating the sewer and processing the sewage that leaves the line. It's a separate charge than the what we're talking about tonight is for capital improvements, installment of the system when it originally went in, and what we call a sewer connection fee, which is $3,500. That's separate. That was 16. You'll still owe the $16 a month sewage fee, even after this is paid.
Oh, yeah? Well, how long will it be then? How long? Who are you?
Yeah. Well, you'll owe the 16.
Huh?
You'll owe the $16 or whatever the monthly sewer charge is
mm-hmm.
for as long as you're hooked into the sewer system, which, you know, barring any earthquakes and whatnot, natural catastrophes, you'll be hooked. Into it.
Yeah, the $16 fee is an operation and maintenance. It's paying for the crews to maintain the sewer lines and the treatment plant costs, electricity. It's an ongoing thing. Where the the fee tonight is a connection, a one-time fee in connection to the sewer line.
We didn't want to charge the $3,500+ at the time it was hooked up because we hadn't discussed it with everybody. It was done on an emergency situation, and we wanted input from the community before we did that. So it's been going on for almost 5 years, 4 years now, and we haven't had the connection fee. Any questions or comments from some other people? Feel free.
Any allocation at 5.1 months in the when we talked before, we were talking about maybe some kind of discount to pay it off. I guess that didn't go through.
The only, as I recall, the discount was brought up in the context of if we went with a 0% interest on the financing of it. We considered at one point that if it was 0% interest over a term of 10 years or 5 years or whatever, we'd have to give a discount to those that paid it up front. But you're right, that one didn't last. That option didn't last, but I rest now.
So if I call on the Fed, you know, through the year, this year, then you'd have to go to option 3 or... The option 3 is more like you pay on the tax bill.
Right.
Wouldn't it be better just to pay up front to the water board, to the board itself, and you wouldn't have administration costs of the accounts, and so you can get it next to get more money right there.
If you could afford to pay the board a lump sum up front, yes. And then the county administration fee, as I understand, is currently $2 per year per parcel. Is that right? So instead of $4.85 a year, it'll be $4.87 and some change. It's $2 per year the county to collect it.
Oh, they try to get back down. It was $4.85.
Right. Our portion of it is $4.85 and $4.87 with county fee on there.
$4.83. And then it'll be on
the tax bill, it'll be more. Like $4.87. Right.
Right.
Do the paper.
Right.
That's pretty cheap, really, $2 a year
parcel.
Think about it.
That is.
It's not much. That's
not much.
Yeah, the county set up for it. We've been doing it for that.
Yeah, I just wonder how they handle that, what they charge.
As Mr. Seitz stated, if there's no prepayment penalty on paying it. So if you signed up for, let's say, a 10-year option, and you paid it off in one, you only owe interest for the year that you set that outstanding principal. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
Or if you do the other one, it just doesn't matter either, I guess. You can find out. That's number 3, what would be the difference? You put it on the 95-96 cash flow.
Are you talking about number 3 that's in your June 22 letter?
Yeah.
Okay.
That'd just be a one lump sum payment, though.
Yeah,
you wouldn't have the option of going over time.
Well, if you were paying it off anyway, like this year.
I would technically agree that if you were planning to pay it off during this year, it's not going to make a lot of difference between signing up on this agreement or not signing. If you don't sign the agreement, though, the bill will end up as one lump sum showing on your property tax bill in November.
Okay.
It just limits your flexibility a little bit. But you're not paying the 6% interest either, so there's some benefits to that.
Okay,
well,
that's all.
My name is Bobby Uvalde, and I live at 520 Avenue, Juarez, New Mexico. First of all, I would like to thank the board for your consideration on this matter. We have received a lot of literature, a lot of information, and a lot of it's hard to read, to understand, for lack of education. But the reason I'm out here is because I want the money. While reading this information that we received, either I failed to see it, or I never read, I never received information where the law says, because all the information came to me, Bobby, you're obligated, you and your wife, to pay this amount. This is what happened. The sewer failed. Party abandoned. But in all the information, I never read where it stated, according to section blah, 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 whatever, which states that all properties that hook up to the main line or whatever, they are required to pay a $3,500 fee. This is a law, or this is our regulation, section whatever number that is. And that would have been real neat to have that there in the information I received, because then it would be on the information I received. But
we can probably provide you an excerpt from our.
Like I said, you know, I received a lot of information, but then like I was discussing with my wife, I would be nice to receive where, you know, proof of the section or whatever law. You know, that state, you know, from not receiving that, it put a lot of doubt in my mind. I go, hey, you guys are trying to rip me off or whatever, you know. it would be nice. But again, I want to thank the board for the consideration, and my wife and I, we would like to go on a payment plan on that 10-year or whatever, and if we could pay it off sooner in 3 years, whatever, we would like to do that. We have two small children that we're bringing up, and we just moved into this home about 3 years, 4 years ago, and we're just getting started, and $3,500 plus would be a little too much at this point. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you.
Okay,
we'll try to provide a copy of the excerpt from our code before you leave tonight regarding the connection of it. Any other questions or comments? Yes, sir.
I am ex-walker. I don't live on any of the property, however, I'm more or less in charge of it. I'm a proxy, you might say. But at any rate, do I understand correctly, if we accept option number two there and pay it off as a over a period of 10 years, as stated there, will the, if we so decide to pay more at any given time, or perhaps even pay it off of the lump sum or whatever on a future date, will that get rid, do I understand correctly that will, that we will not be charge the 6% interest on the remaining balance that is paid?
That's correct. If you pay off the assessment prior to the 10 years that this would run, then the remaining, the interest would be forgiven from that point on.
That was my question.
Right. You're only paying interest on the unpaid balance.
Yeah. I'll go on with the 10-year pay on that business.
Just to remind you that you need to get that agreement signed and back to the district prior to July 21st. Make sure you get that agreement signed. If you're going to follow the agreement, make sure before July 21st that agreement is signed, because the door closes on that date, because we need to get the information to the county assessor's office.
Everyone that wants to initiate the 10-year plan or the lump sum payment to the tax will have to have this agreement signed.
No. If the people that don't sign up are going to get the one-time lump sum payment.
Okay.
So it's just the opposite. If they don't, yeah, if they don't sign up, you will see the $3,500 on your next property tax bill. So if you're going to pay over time, it's important that you sign that agreement and get back to the district. And I think it needs to be notarized. And I think the district has a notary. So if you bring it to the district, you know, I'm sure the district will notarize it for you. But we'll do it tonight after the meeting. So I just caution you that the July 21st is a very important date on the, on all these mechanisms.
It's 2 weeks from Friday.
Right. It's right around the corner.
Okay.
All right.
And there's two notaries in the office. Excuse me? Yeah, right here. Yeah.
I have a real quick question to ask you.
Dang.
I'm meeting in Dallas. I'm body cousin. And
okay.
I'm
okay.
My quick question is, I understand we bought this home 4 or 5 years ago. There was a trust fund somewhere, approximately close to about $10,000. That $10,000 was taken and put towards this big mess as I'm looking at it.
Right.
That supposedly, from the way I'm reading it, covered everything but $72.80. So we're being charged $72.80, or that's what I have, $72.80. And the $3,500 on top of that is a quote connection fee.
Right.
Is there any way that we can negotiate the quote connection fee? It seems like such a unique situation. I went through my title search and everything, and there's nowhere where it says, well, in this state we're going to be hooked up to the sewer lines anyway. So I've heard that in the past, where you might as well just pay it. I've searched through everything that I have, and I can't find where it says somewhere down the line you were going to be hooked up anyway, so no, you have to pay it. I just feel like it's such a unique situation. You've got a low-income neighborhood, or whatever you want to call it, people that are willing to pay it, but I just feel that that $3,500, it's not like we're developers, we came in and charged us that amount and we're developing. I mean, it was already developed. When we moved in, we were on a septic system, and then boom, all of a sudden, now we're hooked up. I realize it's an emergency situation. Now we're being charged, but a developer would be charged to come in and hook up. Is there any way that we can negotiate any type of...
Everyone is charged the same whether they're a developer or a private person.
So has this situation happened before in this area? I can't find where it has, where I can refer back, well, okay, we're going to have to charge this. I don't know. I don't know where...
I don't recall if it's an exact sewer system situation has happened before. But
$3,500 connection fee. So all the people that joined at the beginning paid for their connection and everything else, and then the grant funds came in and built a sewer plant. And part of the grant funding indicated that you should establish a financial plan to support the future demands on the system. And based on that financial plan that was developed approximately in mid-80s, they came out with empty lots with no development on with $2,100. Is that right, Donna? And then people hooking up, and that was a volunteer, right? Yeah, the volunteer had empty lot and not hooking up because no lot was put into empty lot. They would have to pay $2,100. Those people that did not volunteer, there was a $3,500 because they never contributed any of the money up front to get the sewer project going. The $3,500 is like a buy-in into the sewer project, basically the total capitalization of the cost, basically what the project cost, divided out by the number of services, and they came up with $3,500. To satisfy the grant program. And anyone coming, looking into the district at that time pays the $3,500. A number of the mobile home parks hooked in, Mount Cedar Verde and the Pomo Palms at that time were volunteers and hooked into the sewer system. Mount Cedar Verde 1 at that time was operated by the county, and the county felt that the wastewater system, on-site system, was working properly. Therefore, they opted not to connect to the system, and therefore was not a volunteer. So all the people that were not volunteers when they hooked on after the point now pay a $3,500 fee, and that's where that $3,500 fee came. If Montecito Brewery was a volunteer and hooked on, then there would be no connection at this time. Hopefully,
I... Without the
$10,000,
I mean...
The $10,000? That was an account.
That's a lot of money. Now $3,500
on top of that. Right. Montecito Brewery, being operated by the county, collected, I guess it was on the tax roll, fees every year to operate the septic tank system and maintain the drainage pond there and a few other things. When the district took them over, there was approximately $9,000, $10,000 in the account that came to the district, and the district, when they tied in, applied that fund to part of the cost, to offset part of the cost. And those monies came from reserve from the county to the district. You know, pay off, you know, the contract or the cost of the system, they want to pay off. Does that answer your question?
Well, so if I were to ask when I bought the house,
if
you wanted volunteers to be on the line, then I could pay
$2,100? No, at that time it passed. There was a cutoff date when the sewer project started.
We're talking, the sewer system went online in 1987. So we're talking a couple of years before that when a volunteer option was offered to residents.
In other words, it was
the
county's fault for not volunteering it.
That was a judgment by the county.
Yeah, if he moved in after, say, 86, 87, that time frame, then this offer is really transparent to you. It occurred before you were in place.
And one thing with the program, in the grant program, it says by April 1st, 1997, everyone needs to be hooked on the system. That was Region Water Quality Control Board's plan.
Everyone was in prohibition.
By the decision that Kelly made back then, it cost us $1,400 more times 50-something homes that are there.
You can take a look at it another way, though, just in all fairness, is that you're not trying to maintain a septic system that over time will bear its own extraordinary cost because those lines need to be replaced, the tanks and things, you know, so... You're not no longer faced with the maintenance of a septic system. You're now in the district's system. So I'm not trying to make the case for the county. I'm just pointing out there are some benefits to being.
And I don't 2100. It's 1985.
Yeah, and I don't know what the county was charging. The property owners at that time. Other places are charging $25 a month or more, and you might be charging that or even more. And that's for the reserve building.
Yeah,
right. They stopped it. Right.
So, in other words, $3,500 is not negotiable.
It's a fixed fee now. And anyone can...
To negotiate it would open up a precedent for us if it was unruly to administrate.
I have one quick question. If you did pay it with the 95-96 property tax, you know how your property tax is divided in two installments? Does that mean it would be half to...
Right.
So actually it would be two...
Yeah, two payments of half that amount.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And your name and address, please? Okay. Katie does your taxes. Any other questions or comments? Questions of the board or comments regarding the options? Anyone who hasn't spoke, you want to just say briefly which option you like the best of the three?
for.
Okay, as staff has indicated, these agreements, you know, if and when the board acts on this, the agreements will be available, and if you'd like, you could probably execute those this evening or during regular office hours, you know, at your convenience, sometime over the next couple of weeks, because July 21st is the cutoff.
Yeah, for the board's information, we received two full payments on it, and two people have signed agreements on the film investment.
I'll just make one more quick comment. If you're going to come in and use the district's notary, you ought to phone up and make sure the notary is available. Just, you know, and bring everybody that's on title to the property.
If the husband and wife both have to sign.
Yeah, so.
Or you have some other people on the title.
Everybody that's on title to your property has to sign the agreement, number one. Number two, if you're going to come down here and sign up in front of the district's notary, make sure you phone ahead to make sure the notary is here. The district wouldn't want you to come down and be disappointed that the notary is off on a chore or doing something else and is not in the office, so make sure you phone. Huh? The lien holders, we don't need to sign, just the people that are on title. Who's on the deed?
And sometimes your bank offers a notary service.
Yeah.
Can we put these conditions, like both owners having to sign and all this, on a memo, on a private mailing, and notification that we have a notary?
Yeah, we're planning to send out one more information sheet after the meeting, the board action, and those options.
Okay, do that kind of ASAP, because I know everyone reads the TPR, but for those that might miss it, we need to let everyone know before July 21, definitely. And if you could spread the word amongst your friends and neighbors, that would help. Yes, there's a gentleman in the back row. Raise the hand.
Could you exactly tell, or is the motorized guy, the person that's supposed to be here, is he going to be here tomorrow? Or he is going to be here tomorrow at 10?
Yeah,
what time, like from 9 a.m. or?
8 to 4:30.
No lunch?
All
right. Okay. No lunch. No lunch. No lunch tomorrow between 8 and 4:30. There'll
be something in the office.
Any other questions or comments by members of the audience? Sir, did you have a question? Oh, I'm sorry.
Was there any response at all to the what if we had done to do with that question that you asked?
With the information? Not much, just a little bit spoke. I didn't hear anything additional. Yes, sir.
I want to know if somebody say that 2,572 lady event, do we have to pay by the check, or do I have to be with somebody else? Paying with somebody else, or who?
You
pay for whom? The check will be made out to the Napoma Community Service District, and a personal check will be fine. Mm-hmm. Or cashier's check, whatever you desire.
And
then
you will pay the
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You'll be paying this office. Any other questions or comments? Okay, so we'll call the public hearing closed. So bring it back to the board. Can I ask just a couple of questions about the agreement itself?
Sure.
And I wrote in a couple of comments here. Is it germane, or should we even mention in the recitals, or maybe as a whereas clause, the 1997 cutoff? Is that...
I
know
we had mentioned
it in our discussions, but...
Right.
Okay. And
the house is sold, then does it have to be paid off in the
house? Yes, there's a due on sale clause in the agreement.
On page 2, under, let's see, therefore it is agreed, item 6. Now it says, subject to yearly adjustment by resolution based upon changes in the construction administration. That wouldn't be construction costs, would it, because it's already constructed.
We don't anticipate that clause will ever come into effect on this particular agreement, but it is in the statute, so it was incorporated into the agreement. See, okay. What happens
What's
is...
What's an example of a construction cost?
Well,
you mean an additional cost that's
right.
Not necessary?
Typically, zone of benefits, you know, staff had to be created to find a mechanism that would afford payment over time, and we used the zone of benefit. But typically, a zone of benefit is used to operate district facilities that are ongoing. Okay, and so what can happen, for example, let's say that you had a zone of benefit for a special sewer plant. You could almost pick out Black Lake if you wanted to and say if it wasn't going to be paid, or Pocket Oaks, if it wasn't going to be paid on the regular monthly statement, it was going to be paid on the tax rolls. Well, what can happen is that each year the board would come back, and if there was a special instance way to do new construction or reconstruct something, then they could... that the board could have a public hearing and add those costs. Now, as you pointed out, we don't project that we would ever implement that clause, but it is in the statute, so it's in the agreement.
Okay, in item 7, do we want to mention the $2 per parcel per year?
It's in the resolution.
Okay, so we don't need it here.
Right. It's in the resolution.
Right, I just thought for consistency, I thought in the resolution. Okay, and the 6%, is that, one second, please. The 6%, is that fixed or variable?
6%
fixed. Okay, yes.
Okay, we don't quite understand this. And are you telling us that if we pay this right now, the $3,573, and if for some reason this project carries on beyond its point or beyond its time that it's supposed to be done, are you guys going to come back to us and charge us more?
No.
We want to get cleared up.
No. The answer to that is no.
It's already done.
It's already done.
Yeah, the capital improvements are already installed. We don't foresee any additional, you know, digging up pipe and all that short of a repair, which would be covered by O&M costs. You pay your monthly charges, you know, that type of stuff.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Did any other board members have questions or comments on the agreement? Or the resolution?
I just wanted to make a comment on the letter you sent out from the survey. My concern would be that it's real clear that they have to sign up prior to for this.
Right.
Or else it will be the other way.
Yeah, July 21 guideline board and grant beside that. Okay.
Okay, so the action before us tonight,
if the board doesn't have any more questions or comments,
maybe like 3 or 4 days before the deadline, if you don't have somebody, you know, if there's 3 or 4 that haven't signed the agreement, maybe we can phone them, you know, make sure that they understand it.
They might have, well, opted to just have you on the tax roll.
Well, this...
You don't want somebody to come back and say, well, I know...
Well, not only that, a lot of people get stuff in the mail they don't understand. I get stuff in the mail I don't understand. A lot of times I just kind of sort it out and it goes into file 13. And I've thrown stuff away a couple of times that I shouldn't have. And out of 49 people, there's bound to be 2 or 3 that may do that. And we don't want to put somebody in a position they don't want to be in just because we didn't go a little extra
I guess it wouldn't be much of an effort, though.
No. Well, we could try, but I wouldn't want
to. Well, I mean, we could try, at least,
because,
you
know. You know, we call during the day to work.
Yeah. Well, we could try, see, you know, a couple days before, if there's a couple, just say that you...
We'll make a continual effort to do that.
Yeah. How's that?
Yeah. Karen, or
yes, sure.
There are two resolutions before you. One is ordering the assessment for the zone of benefits, and the other one is a resolution to collect the sewer system fees on a lump sum tax form.
Right now, why did we separate these? That was one of my questions. There's a lot of redundancy between the two.
They're
almost identical.
Because the county is going to process these in two different ways. One resolution with the owner's name and the APN number is going to appear as one lump sum payment for $3,500 plus. That's the second resolution. The first resolution will show up on the tax as the incremental payment over a period of time. So in order for them to appropriately process it, they require two separate resolutions that they have cleared with.
That makes sense. That's quite aware of.
We will get on that side of the thing. You have your changes. We'll say no.
Did any directors have questions on either of the resolutions?
I think what staff is asking for is.
Okay, now the second resolution says first working draft at the top.
Right.
Mine does.
That's fine. But that is the resolution.
Okay. That's the one that allows for going up a lump sum on the tax roll.
Right, correct.
Two ones.
And if they sign up, then they're taken off that exhibiting.
Okay.
And added on to the other.
Okay. Can we have the first resolution read in title only, please?
Yes. This is resolution 95556. The bigger 55. But this is the resolution of the Board of Directors and the Pomo Community Service District for collection of sewer system fees for Montecito Verde 1. The operative clause in here is that this resolution authorizes the district manager, along with the report, to be along with this resolution, to be filed with the Census County Auditor's Office for the purpose of establishing a one-time lump sum, one-time, actually two, because you pay twice over a year. But it shows put the payment for the connection fees as a one-time payment on the tax rolls. Go ahead. As shown on exhibit number A, which is attached to the resolution.
Okay, that's the one that currently says 95-. What can say that? That's. I'm talking about the other one. First working draft. Okay, so you're gonna make that 95-.
555.
Okay. Any board members have questions on 95-555? It says a resolution of the Board of Directors of the Pomo Community Services District for collection of sewer system fees for Montecito Verde 1. Okay, Chair will entertain a motion that we approve resolution 95-555 as read in title only.
Okay, I'll make a motion that we approve resolution number 95-555.
Okay, lump sum. Motion by Director Fairbanks. Do I hear a second?
Yeah, I'll second.
And a second by Director Blair. Can we have a roll call vote, please?
Fairbanks.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Okay,
second resolution before us. Could you read it in title and just give us a brief summary?
Yes. This is resolution number 95556. This is a resolution of the Board of Directors of the Pomo Community Service District ordering assessments. This is the resolution that establishes the zone of benefit for those property owners that care to join that zone of benefit to collect the assessments over time, over a 10-year period.
Board members have any specific questions regarding proposed resolution 95-556?
How do we arrive at the 6%? Calculated that based on what we've
covered,
our costs and
everything? Yeah, CDs, et cetera. Yeah, spread. That was out in the middle of the spread. Any other questions or comments? Questions or comments from the audience? It's not too late if you have a question. Okay. Chair will entertain the motion that we adopt resolution 95-556. Title of resolution of the Board of Directors of the Public Community Services District ordering assessments.
I move we adopt resolution number 95556.
Motion by Director Mendoza. Do I have a second?
A second.
And a second by Director Simon. Roll call vote, please.
Director Mendoza.
Yes.
Director Simon.
Yes.
Director Bing.
Yes.
Director Blair.
Yes.
Small.
Yes. Okay, all those two resolutions are passed unanimously, and as we promised, we'll get notifications out. Yes. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. Okay, we'll get the notifications out after the July 21 deadline. Spread the word if you can. We're going to take a quick break.
If anyone has any questions, you know, you come up, please call us at the district office. The staff will try and help you out and answer your questions if something comes up after the meeting that you got to ask or wish you asked.
We're going to take 5 or 10 at the most.
Thank you for coming.
I got to say hi to Vic. Hey, Vic, hold on a second.
Cindy, can you emphasize getting in before? Appreciate it.
Meeting's back in order, please. And we're going to continue with item number 4. This is the proposed Southland Sewer Project. Mr. Jones.
Yeah, Mr. President, the area going south and encompasses Southland Road and Story Road and from Basic Orchard to the Frontage Road. This area is in the original Prohibition Zone but was never sewered. The district has applied for funding through the state funding program to sewer the area. But my understanding that even if it's a loan from the state to do certain projects, and the loan would have to be paid back. And if state back normally you'd go through some form of assessment district program, and it's suggested that maybe the property owners in the area could be contacted and see if they'd be interested in participating in a assessment district. At this time, it depends how extensive the area is sewered versus the cost. And the cost would vary substantially depending on how detailed the area is sewered. I gave some guesses, approximate cost, and I have no idea, but they're probably ballpark and would not be hold a convo forum until the engineering study is done and more detailed information will be come forth on it. Before proceeding on this thing, I talked to the county planning department and asked them what the area is zoned for, and it's presently zoned for half-acre lots, primarily because of existing subdivision. I asked him why didn't he use the same wording as he did in the Hazel Lane area. He asked if ever sewers come in, then they could break down the 10,000 square foot lots because that's a natural for this area. And he said that they never thought of it. So you'd have to go back to a general plan change to incorporate this kind of wording into this area, which is probably more natural than the Hazel Lane area because it's already in the district boundary. I have a call into our supervisor, seeing if the supervisor would initiate such a general plan change, therefore say some financial aspects of the district. If to support this kind of a development out here, you probably need a smaller parcel to finance such a thing. If you're looking at $3,000 to $5,000 per acre, a person get four parcels out of an acre, it breaks down the cost of sewers more reasonably. And so it's kind of a two-edged thing. We could notify the people out there to see if they would be interested in it, and if there is sufficient interest in it, we could chat with them and then see what the county would do in the aspect of a general plan change to rezone the area to less than half acre parcels.
Okay, now from the standpoint of the prohibition area, it was established with a certain number of lots in mind for that area. It was established on half acre, right?
I don't know. I know
it. If that was the current zoning, if whatever the current zoning was at the time.
Yeah, talking to the regional board, and the regional board's position is by 1997 this area should be sewered. They feel that the district should take some initiative to get sewers out there to serve those people. The only way to do that is they just can't afford on the density out there and the few people out there right now. But here again, it's a three-foot prong. It's trying to form a financial mechanism to assess the district, getting its own change to support that type of thing, and satisfying the Regional Water Quality Control Board based on the prohibition zone and the grant program of having everybody hooked up by 1997. No simple answer.
They would still be subject to the $3,500 per parcel, though.
Yes.
On the hookup.
Yes.
Over and above.
Yes. Yeah, it'd be similar like a subdivision beginning to homes where one of these other tracks coming in, they put in all their improvements, everything else, and pay their connection. But the improvements we put in as assessed the district similar to the state summit station.
So you're offering just an incentive.
Well, if the regional board's going to push, now I'm not sure if they can push or not, is the district is taking some movement to move forward to get the area sewered by 1997. And depending on the response from the people, if they want to go forward, financing is one of the major questions out there.
If the people don't go forward, then is it a district obligation to sewer that area?
Well, that's the thing. We can go back to the region board and say, hey, we've tried all these mechanisms. And I don't know what the region board's response would be. They may say, create a sewer or septic tank maintenance, go out and all the people with septic tanks go out and maintain them for them and start charging the fee. They've done that in other areas. Not in this county, but other areas.
If there's a water quality problem, that might become a reality. But if there's not, then it's probably
right. And here again, the Regional Water Quality Control Board has certain regulations, and how they enforce them is this question. We have a meeting set up on the 18th of this month to talk to the regional board, along with the county, the aspect of the grant program, and it's 100% versus. 1,000 versus those that can receive exemptions and how they're going to force this.
I'll take a few public comments. Mr. Sauer, did you have a question? I thought I saw a hand up over in that area. Oh, okay. That was a stretch, maybe. Stretch or a yawn. Yeah.
I have a question for GK. I have a question for Doug about that. You said that they can form an assessment for maintenance of the septic tank.
Well, some areas, I think Stinson Beach was one of the first ones where they didn't want to put in sewers or two and the train in, so they formed a septic tank maintenance district.
I thought the state's compelling you to hook them up, septic tanks are no by 1997.
Well, basically, here again, this was many years ago, okay, and the state had revised their basin plan saying that only so much nitrate can get into the basin, and whether that would be feasible at this time or not is another question. But that is a possible option if the Regional Water Quality Control Board goes on it.
go for that.
Yeah, if they go for it. But they should be, you know, talking
probably to... Probably won't.
Or they have certain restrictions right now in the basin that you can't, I think it's 40 parts per million discharge from your septic tank. And what they tell me is most septic tanks won't meet that discharge requirement. But I'm just saying, you know, these are all options, whether they're viable options. I mean, I'm giving the board as much information as I can, and possibly some of them may not be viable.
When can we find out about the septic tank?
Maybe, depending on the response from the people, and maybe in this meeting on the 18th, we can inquire about it.
In your, if you send the questionnaire that you mentioned, will that include the zoning change option or any information regarding that?
I think
you
it
don't
be,
want to be a proponent of the zoning change.
Right.
I don't think that's our.
That's a difficult question, right? You know, we just had the input, and I'm not sure how much input was from property owners out there, although I've received, since I've been here, probably 4 or 5 people inquiring about sewers and putting sewers out there. It'd be up to, you know, the landlords, the property owners, and the policies or political aspects of developing that area and zoning.
Are there quite a few parcels with no structures at all?
Right. And then there's a number of those half-acre parcels that are multi-ownership. And before, I guess, the administration of the prohibition zone got underway, the county and the regional board were running all fours, and people started building on half-acre parcels and were approved and everything else. Now the regional board says, no, you have to buy your neighbor's property to build a house on those half-acre parcels. We will not allow a half-acre development there. They've gotten to the point now that even outside the district boundary, basically in the Cal City service area, 1 acre parcel and someone wants to build a granny home, the Regional Water Quality Control Board says that's a secondary residence and will not allow it. Although the county has already issued a permit, and there's a couple of situations where the property owner is bucking the Regional Water Quality Control Board.
Right.
Because they will not allow that second house.
Two questions. One, how many additional lots are we looking at? In other words, how many lots? Is that an idea, ballpark?
It's roughly 180 acres.
Half acre.
So it's 360 lots.
Half acre.
Yeah, about 700.
Huh?
About 700 if they go to 10,000 square feet.
Yeah.
700 additional lots.
Oh, no, that's total.
So how many is in there now?
Yeah, I have no idea.
Not anywhere near that. Okay. The other question I have is, you say you're going to form like a septic tank assessment district.
Well, I'm not.
No, but I mean, my question is, if you have a septic tank in your backyard and you use it and it goes into the groundwater, what's the difference of the whole thing going through a sewer pipe and going down into our big pond and going through that, and then the water goes into the groundwater? I mean, it's going in there anyhow.
No, it's nitrate treatment. In our treatment plant, we reduce nitrates.
Can we take the nitrates out?
Some, yeah. And also, when you form a septic tank maintenance district, and here again, this is an experience many years ago when I worked up in North California, it is, some people resent, you know, a truck driving up in their backyard and pumping them, telling them when to pump and sending them a bill. You know, I mean, they come in every 3 years, every 2 years, and they come
2 years
in
Marin County, I know, and it's expensive.
Right, and that's the primary in Marin County. And with that experience, many people do not wish to go with septic tank maintenance districts. And we're talking about individual septic tanks. There's a septic tank maintenance district, which we have right now, which is Montague Grade 2 in Poplar Oaks, and the county has CSA 1F, their septic tank maintenance district. But they have community septic tank 1 system operating the whole system. They're left the lease or maintained because they're centralized.
Because not only does the individual have to pay to have a septic tank pumped, then the district up there charges the sewer company to dump the truck. And it has to be done every 2 years, and it's quite expensive for the homeowner.
Well, yeah, that's another administrative problem where you put this type of waste, because it's a shock loading on a wastewater.
No, we might be a long ways away from that.
Well, I'm not saying that it'll even be formed under the regional conservation plan, but I'm saying, you know, there may be a possibility, maybe a slim possibility.
Okay.
because the recent board has issued a cease and desist on 1F, which is a septic tank name that's operated by CSA 1.
And
then
it's also could be where we
made
a
Most likely, I don't know if we get the thing off the project by 1997, and this area will probably come in with the board will probably request the Green Water Quadrant Parole Board to exempt this area or the existing homes out there from the program. The Regional Board said, yeah, at this time, but they have put a condition on, just like anything else in the program, is once they fail or something, they have to come. And we have some problems out there right now that people fail, and they're probably bootlegging, your system to keep them going.
For the record, that was Lisa as new. No.
So, you know, those are all the different things, and basically just trying to, you know, get input from the board and how we wish to proceed on this area here, because 1997 is coming, probably no more after the 18th, and probably reports back on the 19th to the board.
And if my recollection is correct, the timeline that we saw for the state funding or whatever had NCSD, this project was earmarked by mid or late 96 or something like that, right? As Katie said in the past, she's not hot about state loans anyway.
Yeah.
We can afford it ourselves.
Well, maybe subsidies might be a better way of financing it.
Yeah.
You don't have to
sign up to condition debt into.
What would 700 homes do to our water supply? I mean, there's no way we could, hook up 700 additional houses? Because we'd be obligated, if we give them sewer, we're obligated, and the law said we're obligated to serve them water. So there we got 700 more houses potentially on the line.
Yeah, that's a whole other
subject. That's a whole bag of worms that unless somebody gives us some kind of supplemental water, we're in deep trouble.
I would say that just the thought of, not a thought, but I would say that staff should not even suggest that that's a possibility.
Of
rezoning that.
Yeah.
You know, if you feel strongly about it, you should bring it to the board. Well,
that's what I'm doing, and that's why I'm bringing up all these things. Because I thought with our zone similar to Hazel Lane, that's why I called the county just to confirm it, and he said no, they forgot. Or that they didn't come across certain lines of that.
Right.
And, you know, the zoning aspect is the policy decision or political decision, and I'm just bringing all these things forward. I'm not promoting any particular one. And it's just the economics I'm looking at.
Yeah. It makes sense from that standpoint, but with regard to all the services you have to provide for some other residents, that's a different matter.
Any other board comments or questions?
Maybe the board could just start thinking about this. Maybe after 18th, I might have another answer too. But just bring it to the board, because it's been sitting out there for many years, and some form of a 1997. I'm sure the recent board's going to send us a letter.
A questionnaire wouldn't be a bad idea, as long as it. I'm with Alex, as I mentioned earlier. I didn't want to be the instigator of a zone change. Mentioned the 1997 cutoff would definitely say something about the property was in the original condition of the grant was included in the prohibition area for septic or whatever. Septic will be prohibited. And,
Yeah. Well, I agree.
And ask for their input.
As soon as you talk to someone about performing a assessment if you're paying for sewer projects, you're going to look and see, I got 10 acres out there, what can I do with it? And that's going to happen.
Right. Mr. Sauer.
Ed Sauer on Hazel Lane. As a point, this item did not come up in the South County update. And the reason why it did not come up in the South County update, they did not upzone anything, basically. Hazel Lane was already zoned to 6,000 square foot, and they downzoned that to 10,000 square foot. And it was zoned back before.
Yeah, it was conditioned that sewers become available.
Yes.
And I asked him, why didn't he put that with the Southland area? And said, well, it didn't come up. Didn't think about it.
The reason why, it was only zoned a 1 acre minimum at that time. And they did not upzone any property. Only downzone.
Well, it seems like it should have been brought up because it's kind of a natural to be sewer because it's in the district boundary two times per
year.
But I'm not promoting, growth or anything else. It's just
point taken. Mm-hmm. Any other comments or questions from the audience?
Okay. The board member has nothing further. It looks like we don't really have an action before us. Mr. Jones, you can bring back some more information at the next meeting on further contact with regional water quality control.
Right. Well, after that meeting, you'll have more definite idea of what.
Well, yeah, I need to get better input. In just general conversation with the region board staff, they said, well, you just can't sit there and do nothing. They want some movement.
Of course, if that's an option, we like that. As Lisa pointed out.
That's a keep what she said in mind, I guess.
Maybe if the original conditions won't include it, because if there's not any interest out there, and there's no funding mechanism in place to attain it, then it might be one of them, why do it now? Okay, let's close that item then. There's no action to be taken. We'll move on to item number 5, which is LAFCO approval of track 1948 to CSA 1F. Mr. Jones.
Yeah, Mr. President, track 1948 is 1.72 acres roughly of development on the north side of Hazel Lane. It has been sitting there for, I guess, a number of years, and it's divided into 1, 2, 3, 4. 6,000 square foot lots and a larger house, and then I guess there's an area for drainage space. So it's actually 6 lots, of which 5 are usable, 4 of them are 6,000 square foot approximately. They need sewer service to provide such smaller areas as previously mentioned, and they have requested annex to CSA 1F, which is a septic tank maintenance district. Staff went up to the hearing and talked to the Regional Water Quality Control Board to get some background, and the thing that staff mentioned to the LAFCO was that track 1894 is within the sphere of influence of the district, normally determines who should serve the area, but also within the urban service line, basically established by the planning department, which indicated the district should serve this area. LAFCO indicated that we do not operate a septic tank maintenance district and inquired if we wanted to provide one, and I said that we operate a couple of them. This area is also proposed to be annexed to the district known as Hazel Lane, which LAFCO presently has in application, and also brought up the jurisdiction with Cal Cities, Southern California Water Company servicing this area that we testified before the PUC, and which will be brought up in another item a little bit later on, that the PUC basically has ruled in favor of the of Cal Cities to serve the area. And also, staff has contacted the Regional Water Quality Control Board, and they indicated that in the prohibition zone, no new discharges may be created, and this is an area outside the prohibition zone, discharging into the prohibition zone, and what the Regional Board told me, this is a violation of the basin plan. Talking to the county, they said they know about it, but they're going to go ahead anyway with it, which I thought was an interesting comment.
Yeah, that was my question.
Yeah, that's
why would they approve an annexation if there's a discharge limitation for the area anyway? Do you think they did it with a preconceived notion that we would annex them?
Well, yeah, that's, I don't know. I mean,
they assume that, then they might go forward with it, but outside of that, I mean, there's no reason.
Right, and then CSA1F also has a cease and desist order to hook to our system right now. And that's one thing the county is trying to talk to the regional board to get out of. And also mentioned before any sort of annexation that the zero tax transfer should be discussed. One of the things that probably, if you know, the county has a letter from Mr. Paul Hood, the deputy director from LAFCO.
Right.
His letter is dated June 2nd, and he wanted a response by June 8th.
Yeah.
You know, and it gave me roughly maybe 1 or 2 days to respond to it. And this is kind of a situation that maybe legal counsel will bring up later on about getting proper notification to respond to it. And I wrote back saying before we, he was asking about forming a septic tank maintenance district, and if we were interested in annexing the area, in that case, the tax issue needs to be resolved before we move forward. Basically, they just ignored it. LAP went ahead and approved the annexation to 1F. And I talked to one of the LAP representatives after, and they indicated that staff told everything was in their staff report, which a number of these items were not. And they were unaware that the Regional Water Quality Control Board's position.
Is
there
enough to
go with being more?
You're saying Cal Cities can't, is legally not obligated, but able to provide service to them.
Yeah, the PUC basically ruled in Cal Cities' favor to serve this area.
Is the fact that these agencies are not in coordinating, is that enough cost to process annexation?
I don't know. That's
you said they weren't aware of these conditions.
Correct. Yeah, I talked to the engineering, I talked to Paul Hood, and he mentioned that a gentleman in the engineering department knew about it and made that decision, and this gentleman does not have an, he's an accountant and not an engineering background. So.
just one thing I just want
to
point out is that what's going on here is an annexation to a county service area that is in our sphere of influence. It's not within our district boundaries. So this district does not have any real control or any real say. I mean, we, you know, it's an area that supposedly is set to be annexed into the district, but just because this area is in our sphere of influence, there's no guarantees that it'll ever be annexed. So the district's authority to exercise political or economic or land use in this area is minimal, because we don't, if it was in our district, it'd be just the opposite. We would have a large amount of influence, but we have very, very little influence. And what I think the special districts will be proposing a change because of this very situation and the 6-day notice is that LAFCO can only operate within somebody's sphere of influence with like 35 days notice to the special district. So it will kind of address what Alex was pointing out, is the lack of coordination between agencies is maybe causing some errant decisions at the county level. And what the special districts are thinking about doing is trying to make sure that there's appropriate notice provisions so that districts do have time to react at the board level. Because with this 6 days notice or 3 days notice, you can only react at the staff level, and at that it's very, very short time.
It appears that we're being a little strong. I'm sorry, I just jumped in. Strong-armed, because LAFCO has approved this annexation to, not to us obviously, only we can do that.
Right.
But to CSA 1F. At the same time, the Regional Water Quality Control Board has a cease and desist or whatever on additional sewer discharge in that area. So that in effect forces the Regional Water Quality Control Board to either work things out with LAFCO or come to us and say sewer.
Well, see, I got to point out one thing about the Water Quality Control Board. They were at this LAFCO meeting, and they did not raise this issue. So,
well, maybe they didn't know there was a parcel.
No, they knew. They knew.
The people I talked to were there.
I
the reason they came to the meeting because I brought these things up to them. and they were there basically observing and to answer questions.
Well, then it would be my guess if they think we're going to have
accidents. I don't understand. Oh, aren't we sewering CSA number one?
One, yeah, the area outside that gray area.
Right. So if they're connecting this site, this track 1948, to CSA number one, then we're automatically sewering it.
No, one is on a septic tank maintenance. That one small area is on a septic tank maintenance. No, no, the other, the light gray area. That's a septic tank maintenance.
CAS number one's a septic tank.
Area. Yes, and the area south and east of it is the rest of Galaxy Park. It's hooked to the sewer system.
This is.
Right. That one area, one. Yep, it's not hooked to the sewer system. It's on a septic tank. That's one that goes across the street to very large disposal.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So we're telling everybody in Southland and every place else that they got to connect up to the sewers, right?
And everyone in the prohibition area, including 1F, needs to hook up.
But we're going to, the county says, hey, we want these people to stay on a septic tank and violate all the rules and regulations. That's basically what they're saying.
They're putting in a collector system and dumping it into a community septic tank.
I don't think so.
Well, you know,
but I mean, here you got some guy, I don't know who these people are, but you said before they couldn't build a granny house because the county says you're dumping into the system. Now, here the county's come along, and they're doing the same thing, violating all the rules. It just seems to me, I mean, I don't have anything involved with this one way or the other, but I think if you're going to play the game, you play the game. If you're not, you know, you don't bend the rules for your own.
Well, yeah.
I've got a question here. What's the time frame of all this now? And the reason why I ask that is I have a will serve letter to CSA 1F also right now. And this has been a being now for many, many years. In fact, it's got a 2-year time extension. So, and the person you're talking about, the 1948, also, a will serve letter to 1F right before me. So, and this is from the county. Now, are these prohibitions later? After, and I think I would say it's in the 1990 time frame. Come later or
what? Oh, the evasion plan?
Yes.
It was adopted around. In the 80s, probably when the sewer project went.
Was that right? Oh, okay.
You have to check with the regional board.
Okay.
They update them occasionally.
And I know perfectly very well. This was in 1989 or thereabouts.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And, you know, the other thing associated with this thing is that, you know, a lot of people put a lot of weight on the sphere of influence. They had to go through a bunch of hoops about annexing Summit Station. And the county planning department puts all these rules and regulations on urban service lines, and then they just ignore them.
Anybody?
I did.
Mm-hmm. It seems to me they're playing the game, and they're going to let them form the CSA 1F or whatever it is, and then they're going to turn around and find out that they have a problem with that septic system, and then if they mandate the district to sewer them. They're going through all these things, and then they're going to turn around all the expenses, and it's going to finally come back to the district.
And the taxpayers are going to pay for it.
Right.
Well, and we're going to have to modify the agreement we have with CSA 1, which allows, I think, up to 300 services. All of a sudden, if there be exceeding it.
We don't have to do that.
No. We don't have to do that. We just tell them, hey, no way, Jose.
Well, see, that's
different than
Bud. Yeah. That's the problem. And it needs to be addressed now is the regional board is another player in this thing. And the regional board says, hey, you're the only act in town, you got to move along.
Right.
And I don't know if they can, that kind of leverage, I don't know.
I don't think so.
If you don't have the water...
Well, that's a separate issue.
Not really.
Not really. See, that's...
I mean, I can't separate them so easily.
I can't either. If they would give us the water or give us the options to get water, I could see doing a whole bunch of things they want to do. But they don't want to give us any water or any options to get water, but they want to put all these people in here and going to make us a problem in the year 2010.
It takes water to make sewer.
Right. The solids have to move down there.
So you've answered my question about 300. Because that's what I thought was, if they could, with the CSA number one, if they're going to force us to sewer it eventually, they could have half the Mesa on there.
Yeah, I think that, you know, the district has a trump card that we have an agreement, and we say, no, we don't want to serve any more than that.
Right.
But,
but Big Brother's sitting here. I'm not sure what to. Anyway, I don't. You know, if the board wishes to direct staff to matter, this is a kind of an information item on the thing. It was kind of frustrating, the short notice and then the falling on deaf ears.
If we have the obligation to maintain this district in a solid manner, we can't allow these kind of situations to just walk up whenever they please.
Especially the 16 of them.
Yeah. I think you might have to go to war with them.
We are having scrimmages already.
And clarify just how this proceeding is going to work.
Right
now you're reacting to their acts, and you don't have any say in what's going on. But rather the board is.
Well, that's what you know. Our legal counsel mentioned we're trying to get the Special District Association to indicate to the LAFCO in the county that they need a longer lead time to get responses from other agencies.
I'd like to have a little bit clearer understanding of how LAFCO can act without outside the guidelines of the discharge orders by the Regional Water Quality Control Board as well. Surely I would think that would be something to consider in the annexation process to see if they want that.
Yeah, now here again, I'm talking to first level staff at the regional board, whether, how far up it goes, I don't know.
Doug, you might want to compliment them on their map. It's the first clear map that I've seen since I've been seated here. As a matter of fact, when you compare it with the Southland Sewer, which the hieroglyphics I don't understand at all, it's a great map. And now you're mad at them for, the letter writing, why you can tell them. But aside from that, fellas.
It's a nice map.
Silver Lining Simon. A new nickname.
Gotta find one.
Yes, sir. And this DL.
Is there any further board questions or comments? Are there any public questions or comments on this issue? Okay, staff was just recommending continuance of the item, I guess to pursue our timeline discussions with LAFCO, maybe the 6 days or whatever.
What if we made a motion we didn't want? Do we do that?
Make a motion to...
Not annex. Or should we just...
It's not before the...
Well, they're not asking us to annex them at this point, so...
Okay.
That's next week.
Huh?
That can be next week. Hold that. Hold that thought.
We have a letter from the county engineering department asking us to inquire about taking over and running CSA one and to the board and working.
Wonderful. That means we got to go out and charge a bunch more people $3,500 connection fee.
Well, I open my mouth because they keep saying that the district should do this. Do that, and like I mentioned, the district has never had any official correspondence from anybody about doing anything. So maybe this precipitated it. But.
Okay. Let's consider item 5 closed for tonight. We'll move on to item number 6, which is the county proposed zero tax transfer on annexation 15 in Udall. Mr. Jones?
Yeah, Mr. President.